if you look over the last 5,000 years, two of the entities that have been the foundation for folks weathering storms, their economic financial lifeboat, have been gold and silver. I encourage you, the Camino Company, ask for Adriana, Adriana Reed, CaminoCompany.com, 800-348-8001. An individual who is actually has captained many lifeboats over the years in trying to take on the deep state has been my next guest, Paul Preston. A little background on Paul. Paul takes on issues surrounding the United Nations Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. He is a huge force in the radio world. His radio station, and you can visit him on his website, agenda21radio.news. He's been found to be one of the 50 most influential and most listened to streaming talk show hosts. And Paul, he really has dissected not only Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, but he's taken it from, if you will, a theoretical model and showed on a daily basis how it's impacting every American and, frankly, every person of the world. Paul has opened up avenues for folks to investigate and to, if you will, research what the deep state, through their business model, their playbook, Agenda 21 and now the updated version Agenda 2030, is focused on. And basically, it's focused on stripping you of your freedoms and liberties. Paul also is the brain trust behind the New California movement in the state of California, creating the 51st state. It's my honor to welcome back Paul Preston. Paul, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Well, thank you, Dave, for having me on. It's really an honor to be with you.
I'm afraid, Paul, I'm not hearing you.
Oh, can you hear me now? Is that better? Can you hear me now?
Nope. I see a video picture of you, Paul, but I don't have any audio volume. So, Derek, I'm going to have you work on that while we try to hook up with Paul, because right now I am not hearing Paul at all.
No Paul at all. Well, let's see.
So Derek's going to work on reestablishing Paul's contact so I can hear him and we can conduct this interview. This is part of the problem of us being at an ancillary facility and not being at our home base. But for some reason, try it again, Paul.
Can you hear me now?
Nope, still don't have Paul. So Derek, I'm going to have to ask you to somehow reconnect with Paul so we can connect. While we're trying to reestablish the connection...
How about that, Paul? One? Can you hear me now?
Oh, Paul, you're back.
I'm back. I'm back from the you-know-where.
Well, glad to have you back, Paul.
Yeah.
So, sorry. So, you know, this is... So you're on Skype. I'm coming from Skype from our ancillary bunker to our main bunker, so I'm glad we were able to get together on this. So Paul, educate our listeners on what's happening in California. Let's start with the virus.
Oh, yeah, the dreaded COVID virus. Well, the reality check is that the COVID virus is really nothing more than a cold virus, you know, sort of many generations removed or mutated or whatever you want to say what's gone on with it. And here in California, we had a wave of a very, very serious virus that came through here and flu that I guess you would call it a flu. We called it a flu. We didn't know what to call it. It was, if you take a description of what you hear, of what everybody's still fearing of the COVID virus and so on, that would apply to what people out here in California had. And I was doing a lot of traveling up and down the state. I was going from south to north, to east to west, all over the place, driving, flying, a lot of flying in December. And I came down with it in January and February, and it was a devastating illness. It was absolutely devastating. I was driving home from the market, and the next thing I knew, I couldn't even hardly drive. I ended up in bed for about 3.5 weeks. I called the doctor, and they didn't know what to do. He said, stay home. And, of course, I stayed home. I did all the things that I needed to do to maintain myself. But it was a brutal time. But now, all of a sudden, here in California, we're finding out the COVID virus has not struck us down. And, in fact, a lot of people are running around trying to go out and get antibody tests to find out whether or not they have the antibodies for COVID virus already. So that's why when you take a look at this so-called Hopkins match map out there, you see vast areas of California that are unaffected. And there's only a couple places, really, Los Angeles and San Jose. And, of course, San Jose is the hub of the Chinese. San Jose, that whole area up into the Delta and so on, is a major hub for the Chinese living in California. And, of course, they're all around Silicon Valley. They have been. They've basically been stealing our secrets. Everybody kind of knows that. And, you know, being in business and that sort of thing. So it was not unusual to find that that would be the place where there would be so many deaths. But, you know, the bigger picture, people are starting to find out the truth about the virus, that the virus is really not any more fatal than many of the flus that we've had out here. In fact, it's substantially less fatal. It does hit you hard, but the antibiotic or the antibodies are being produced by, I think, the herd mentality now in California is preventing any big rise in the virus. And of course, you have an over-the-top. Every crisis has to become a bigger crisis with Gavin Newsom, who is running the state into oblivion, as well as his other colleagues in the Senate and the Assembly. We have a totalitarian state. It's clearly that. We don't have a Republican form of government any longer in California. There is no California Republican Party. There is no California Democratic Party. They're not going to have conventions this year, and they're writing it off, of course, to the COVID virus. It's just an excuse. The Democrats were never going to have a convention, and the Republicans just, you know, at a whim canceled their convention. That's because the Republican Party has no money in California. You have some counties that are doing really, really good work and want to see Donald Trump elected, but for the most part, the Republican Party is completely still hateful of Donald Trump, and of course, they end up with no money because nobody's paying into them. That's called a clue that there's a backlash against the so-called established Republican Party, and so now they're not even going to have a convention, and of course they are not shown to be effective at all in the Assembly or the Senate. Of course, their numbers are much lower. There's a supermajority of Democrats, and basically what you have is a lot of Republicans, except for a few. Really, Dave, it's just a handful, maybe four or five Republicans that have stuck true in the entire legislature to the president's and actually the U.S. agenda. They're very anti-Trump, they've flipped, in other words. So now we have a monoparty democracy. And, of course, that's the biggest fear that the founding fathers ever had, was that there would be a democracy that would be established in any one state. And, of course, California is out and proud as a democracy. And, of course, for those of you who understand a democracy is nothing more than a dictatorship or mob rule, which is what we have. And it's led by a dictator who's really become a major tyrant. There is no reason at all for these heavy restrictions. The only reason that anybody can come up with is that they're trying to destroy Donald Trump's presidency and delay the election, you know, for another 3 or 4 more months or whatever they're going to do to try and interfere with it. You got to remember one thing, that Gavin Newsom is the nephew of Nancy Pelosi and related to the four big families here in California that basically rule out of San Francisco and now rule the country. You've got Gavin Newsom in charge of California. You've got Nancy Pelosi, who's in charge of really the whole country. And this is our big battle, is to overcome that. So that's why we created New California.
Folks, we're speaking with Paul Preston from Agenda21Radio.news. You know, Paul, the dictatorial powers that we've been experiencing here in Michigan are almost as onerous, maybe right, even of equal commensurate value level that you're experiencing in California. And we also have a problem. You know, we have a Republican legislature supposedly here in Michigan, but they don't seem to be fighting back, the leadership anyway, anything substantial against the totalitarian thug Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah. And, you know, she behaves just like Newsom. She's a little bit more rough around the edges than Newsom, you know, but he's pretty raw. He's pretty inexperienced, and it's clear that he's got the financial problems bigger and worse than she does. But yeah, I'm watching this whole thing play out for you guys. Now, they've been selectively enforcing similar types of rules of what she's been trying to do here there in Michigan, here in California, by various counties and so on. They've been very, very heavy-handed in some of the counties, especially around the Bay Area. In Southern California, people just aren't taking it. There's no question about, you know, at the beach right now, there's tens, hundreds of thousands of people at the Southern California beaches. They basically gave the big middle finger to authorities down there. And many of your state employees, you know, the word that I got yesterday and this morning, I was on the phone this morning talking to some people down there, that state employees are absolutely openly defying Gavin Newsom as we speak. And they said no more of this stuff. And so roads are open to all the various state parks down there. And so they're opening up basically in flat out defiance of the governor, which is a good thing. You know, that's a really good thing. We want to see more of that. In fact, we encourage all Californians to go out and be defiant. Just go out and protest and be with people. Take the mask off. The mask is the worst thing. I don't know about you, Dave, but, you know, I'm not a doctor like you. You know, I taught anatomy physiology for years, and I understand all that stuff. You know, rebreathing in a mask, and I understand technically you have to be trained to be able to use those masks in a proper way. And I don't see how these people are walking around with these masks on all the time and rebreathing the air and pathogens, basically, that they inhale and exhale out of that mask.
Well, you know, there have been some studies done on the masks, and actually the studies are not supportive of they providing a significant benefit for a virus, if you will, the size that the coronavirus is.
Right.
So, you know, the one thing that masks do is it at least let people know, if they have a mask on, it drills into them a bit more about touching your eyes, touching your face, going around your mouth or your nose. But, Paul, you know, I was at one of my favorite places in the world, Costco, last week. And everybody's walking around with their masks on. And there was this guy who was reaching underneath his mask to rub his nose and rubbing his mouth, right? But he had a mask on.
Right? Yeah.
You know, and I was at the grocery store last week, and there was a guy wearing, I mean, he had an N95 mask on. He had two pairs of gloves on. Okay? He goes to buy some apples. He picks up, if somebody told me this, I wouldn't believe it. I saw it with my own eye. Well, my own eye, because I've been battling this retina issue. But he picked up an apple, and it fell on the floor.
Oh, boy.
You know what he did? He picked it up and put it back on the pile of apples.
Right.
And when I said, what are you doing? What are you doing?
And, of course, all the bad stuff.
Obviously, you care about protection because you got two pairs of gloves on, you got a mask on, N95 mask on, you dropped it on the floor. And that's what we're dealing with.
Right. The thing that's understandable, not understandable, I don't think, by people who wear these gloves is that, you know, they work fine for you, that you're not going to pick something up from somebody else because you have the gloves on. They don't work real well for the person you're handing something off to, because those gloves have accumulated all the germs, you know, of the day, basically, that you've been involved with. You know, they're dirtier than it's better to wash your hands. But I want to get back to this whole thing about, you know, the virus itself. And you know, Dave, you know these things, being in the medical field, that there's just no there. The numbers just aren't matching up, even worldwide. We did a study when this first thing, when the virus first came out as a sort of so-called pandemic. And we got the number from Johns Hopkins and of course, Dr. Fauci and Burke and all that. And I said immediately, you know, because I used to teach and study this stuff a lot, I said, this dog does not hunt. You know, the numbers in terms of people that the infectious rate that they were showing around the world, they were very low. And, of course, the number of fatalities was even, you know, was 0.0007 or something like that. And I'm sitting there going, what in the world is everybody afraid of? And, you know, then one of the things that happened very quickly was Donald Trump shut off transportation from China to the United States. He did that immediately.
Yeah, January 31st, 2020. It took a lot of heat for it, Paul.
Yeah, they were the other side was just going nuts. I mean, and then he did the same thing to Europe. That was the exact right thing to do. I said to people, I said, are you guys crazy? I said, if there's a disease out there that sounds so evil and bad, even though I was running the numbers going, there's something wrong here. Yeah, but they're either condemning him for shutting it down because, you know, what would the world say if he didn't shut it down? And now we got into this mess, you know.
Well, the World Health Organization, yeah, state operation, right? They were telling him, "Oh, this is going to make the problem worse." I mean, that's what that Tedros guy from Ethiopia, who worked for the Communist Party before, was saying. You had Joe Biden saying President Trump was a xenophobe by shutting this down. No, he was. You're right, though. He was right. And the thing about the virus that I learned in Southeast Michigan is that when it hits, and there's a vulnerable population it hits, if you're immunocompromised, underlying medical conditions, in Michigan, the big underlyings are diabetes with obesity that can go hand in hand. Add that cardiovascular disease, underlying lung disease, that type of issue, underlying bone marrow issues, so you're immunocompromised. But the big two are diabetes and obesity.
Right.
And in that particular population, and in those over 70, when it hits, it can hit hard. So if you're going to protect anybody, okay, and do the old, well, we need quarantine. Well, usually you quarantine people that are already infected,
sick,
right? But when you started, quarantining people that are healthy, that's not quarantine, Paul. As you know, that's house arrest.
It is. This is clearly what they're trying to do to us.
As you know, I've been involved in public health for decades, and I could see, okay, look, if you're in the vulnerable population or if you're elderly, you know what? Have somebody bring the groceries in for you. Try to stay out of large crowds. Let's do this whole thing. Let's see where things are going. That doesn't mean some younger folks can get significantly ill from it. You can always have outliers with anything. But the bottom line is that the deep state jumped on this.
Yep.
And as you said from the beginning, Paul, we talked about this when you were last on the show 6-7 weeks ago, is that if you start looking at the number of people who had this, and you and I both, I think, agree, this started infiltrating our shores a lot earlier in January.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? When you start looking at these numbers, and now they're getting antibody tests, and even Cuomo came out the other day and said, whoa, wait a minute, we just did the antibody testing, and it looks like, well, 20% of New York City residents, at least, already have antibodies to this.
Oops,
right? And in California, you've had great studies out of Stanford,
right,
in L.A. and Santa Clara that show the same thing. And in Boston at these homeless shelters that show the same thing. You know, 50% of people in the South Boston homeless shelter have the antibodies, and 100% of them were asymptomatic.
Right.
Never reported any illness.
Right.
So, but the deep state doesn't want that.
No.
Because you know what, Paul? That gets us closest, as you've said, to herd immunity. And guess what? If you get herd immunity, you don't need any of their doggone vaccines.
That's exactly right. You don't need their vaccines and don't take them. That's a whole other, you know, you and I could talk for hours on that one and what's going on with the vaccines and all the other stuff that's happening out there. But the bigger issue is that the herd mentality here is in California, and now they're stretching and running around trying to come, you know, stretching out the death rate. We've been getting reports. In fact, we had some people on our public call the other night, cause every Sunday and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, we have a public open call for New California. So we'll have hundreds of people who call in, and we've had people call in and say, look, you know, so-and-so died, a friend that I know died, and he died of something completely unrelated to COVID virus, but now they're telling us that he died of COVID virus. We're hearing this story all the time, yet the hospitals are empty. We've got citizen journalists who've got to run around, who've taken pictures of all the hospitals. They're laying people off at the hospitals. There's no virus going on out there because everybody's got the herd mentality going on, the herd physiology going on, and the antigens, you know, have worked their job and produced the antibodies. That's basically what's happened in the population, and now they're fighting back, and there's no there. That's why the death rate is so. But we have these onerous conditions being foisted upon us by a dictator, Gavin Newsom, and then you have these other mini dictatorships like health departments. Here in our two, we have two counties out here that joined forces and created a joint regional organization of the bi-counties health department thing. And they come in and they tell us all these onerous rules. And then who's telling us these onerous rules is a woman who's from Ho Chi Minh City, who went to the University of Washington, and she's telling us how we're going to be, you know, basically quarantined in our own home. And it's on YouTube, and it's like people are going, are you kidding me? And of course, none of this has come to fruition. Everything she's said has not been truthful. Everything that county supervisors have said have been not truthful. And, of course, now there's going to be the pushback. But getting back to your point, I understand you had a Democrat on your show the other day, and she just blew it out of the park, and I don't recall her name.
Oh, Karen Whitsett.
Karen Whitsett, yeah. She's your not your mayor, but she's the senator.
She's a state representative in the 9th district out of Detroit and Dearborn. And she had the audacity to talk about the utilization of hydroxychloroquine.
How it saved her life.
She went and told the thanked the president for bringing it because she wouldn't have known that it could have been. Last night, Paul, in a unanimous vote, the Democrat Party of the 13th Congressional District voted to censure her.
Of course.
How dare she? And the person running that charge was Governor Whitmer's right-hand person.
Of course. Sure. Well, you know, we reported on the hydroxychloroquine issue on March 3rd. We heard about that, and then we started looking into it and said, well, hello. And then the president came out, and he wasn't prescribing any prescriptions. He's just saying, look, this thing works, apparently. And then we started seeing all these studies that were coming in like pretty much absolute. And then, of course, with the zinc and other things you can add to it, and pretty soon everybody's going, wow, we just can't believe that that this is sort of happening, you know, but it works. It absolutely works. That's why people are going out and buying quinine water in the form of tonic water.
You look at the studies from, I believe, the top infectious disease expert in the world, Dieter Renault from Marseille, France. And, you know, he first came out with a series of 26 people, right, then another different series of 80 people. Now, the most recent series was 1,061 people. And what they show, Paul, and you've talked about this, but it bears repeating, that when you develop the symptoms and they start to get significant, right before you get into the hospital, you can prevent people by starting them on hydroxychloroquine, Zithromax, zinc.
Right.
You can prevent them from coming into the hospital, prevent them from having to be intubated, a tube down their throat, and prevent them from going on a ventilator and possibly dying.
Right, right. Well,
how can folks follow you? They need to follow you on a daily basis.
Yeah, agenda21radio.news or a21r.com, and of course newcaliforniastate.com or ncs51.com. Of course, we're just banging it out of the park with New California. Many things are happening. Candace Owens is going to be coming out here speaking on our behalf, and we just had the convention, which Mike Huckabee came out and was our speaker. So anyway, thanks for having me on, Dave.
Paul, thanks for everything you've done. You're leading the Freedom Charge, and you're doing it so miraculously, and you're making a positive impact for not only every person in California, but every person in the United States.
Awesome.
Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our ancillary bunker at Lamp Talk 1600.